the final part of this series, part 7, Christian Life in a Modern Society. 1 Peter chapter 5, 5 through 7. Peter tells us in his letter to the churches in Asia Minor, Peter says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor or gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, cast all your care on him, because he cares for you. I'm going to preach to myself today, and if you would like to listen, you can. Casting all your anxiety on him. That guy doesn't have a care in the world. That girl, that woman doesn't have a care in the world. Seems like everything always goes smoothly with them. They just take everything with a grain of salt, always have a smile on their face, never have a problem, it seems like. And when you are having a problem and you run into that person in your family, that friend, doesn't it kind of get on your nerves, you know? Like, I got all this stuff going on I'm worried about, and they seem to be fine. But is it true that they do not have a care in the world? All of us have things that we are concerned about, and to one degree or another. The carefree person may or may not be, but may be, covering up for a host of cares that they do not let on about. But even if we're not wringing our hands with anxiety, we all have things in our lives that we are concerned about, care about. And Peter's writing to Christians in Asia Minor, who are exiles, who are aliens, who are outcasts, who had much to be anxious about. I guess I would compare the Christians that Simon Peter is writing to in 1 Peter to the Coptic Christians in Egypt, who are facing much persecution, who are facing death. So that's what they are facing. That's the type of Christians that Simon Peter is writing to. And if Simon Peter could write to those Christians in Asia Minor and those Christians in Egypt, those Coptic Christians in Egypt, and help them and aid them, how much more so can he help us who are not facing that type of persecution? I believe that he can. So let's go through this in your bulletin, the outline. Number one, the command. The command in this passage, we are told to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. This is what we are told to do. This is what we are commanded to do. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In verse 6, that therefore, whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, you have to find out what it's there for. That verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It directs our attention back to verse 5 and really the first five verses in the chapter. But we'll stick with verse 5. Therefore, so we go back to verse 5. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble or gives grace to the humble. For a Christian of any length of time, which is most of us here today, if not all, we are all very much aware of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. We know this verse. Does anybody ever memorize this verse? You could quote it. You've used this verse before. You've claimed this verse before. You've shared this verse before. You've prayed this verse before many times. It's a wonderful verse. But too often we apply this verse apart from its context. We all want God's care, and we believe in God's care. But we often want God's care apart from humbling ourselves. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We have to take the verse in context. We want God's care, but we want God's care on our terms. We tend to dissect this passage in God's care from His purpose and His plan. And His purpose and His plan is for us to humble ourselves, to get rid of the pride, because when we do that, we are becoming like His Son, Jesus. The pursuit of life apart from God, by our own strength, by our own resources, Scripture defines as pride. And God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride, that swollen estimate of our own power, that swollen estimate of our own resources, that swollen estimate of our own abilities, which causes us to ignore God in one form or another. And God will not let us go along that way with arrogant independence. Why not? Well, first of all, the proud person dishonors God. When we fall into pride, we fail to acknowledge that all that we are is accomplished when we ultimately depend on the Lord. When we realize that God has put us in the place that we're at. When we become proud, we dishonor God and say, I did this on my own, or I should not be here, and we blame God for the place that we are. One of my favorite pictures that I have at home, I look at it from time to time, is a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. I think I've showed that to you before. How did the turtle get there? Did he climb there? Did she climb there? Maybe a she turtle, I don't know. Somebody had to put the turtle on top of the fence post. It didn't fall out of the sky, most likely. And it did not climb up there. Somebody placed the turtle there. Now, I know we're not turtles, and it's just a silly picture, an illustration. But wherever we are in life, we believe that God is helping to place us there, putting us there as a Christ follower. And if we are going through things that we do not want to go through, we even trust God during those times, and we don't blame God because He's forming us into the people we're supposed to be. We don't like being on this fence post, but we believe God still is in control and He has a plan. Secondly, the proud person not only dishonors God, the proud person will dishonor others and will dishonor themselves, even to the ruin of someone's life, even to the ruin of their own life. I had a lot of illustrations I was going to use, but I don't think I need to use one. I would recommend, if you want to see that this is true, a proud person ruins their own life and ruins other people's life, all you have to do tonight or tomorrow night is turn on the news or go on Facebook or Twitter, and you will find countless illustrations of proud people that have ruined their own lives, that have ruined their families' lives, that have ruined friends' lives. Is that true? Do you know of an illustration like that? At least one. Okay. Because eventually pride results in a fall. Whether it's the pride of a person, the pride of a community, the pride of a church, the pride of a nation. Pride has been called the first and the worst of sins. In context, chapter 5, the first four verses that we did not read, Simon Peter is talking to the church, and he tells the leaders of that church they're warned against lording over those that they are leading, or pridefully bossing around those they are leading. So he's telling the leaders not to be prideful. He also tells the young men in the church, he encourages them to submit to the pastors, submit to the elders. He challenges them to clothe themselves with humility and not to be proud. Why is he doing this? Because Simon Peter knows even in the church, arrogance is harmful, pride is harmful, and a hindrance to effective ministry in the body of Christ. because he knows that pride goes before the fall. So humble yourselves, Simon Peter says to us. Allow yourselves to be humbled, another translation says. Submit yourselves to the humbling process of God, another translation says. What does it mean to allow yourselves to be humbled by God? Well, the key subject in 1 Peter, which we've talked about the last 6 weeks, is the subject of suffering, is the subject of being an exile, an outcast, and suffering in the society that they found themselves in. 15 times in the book, suffering is mentioned. So this book is about how to act when you're suffering. Well, Peter sees the suffering and the trials as one of the elements of life that God uses. God uses suffering. Don't mishear me. God does not cause suffering, but God uses suffering, the experience of the test, the experience of the trials of life as tools to get our attention, to cause us to grow. Cause us to grow into what? Into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ submitted Himself to the suffering, even to the suffering of the cross. God even used the cross to show His glory. So God uses the suffering that we face as tools to reveal His glory. Suffering by the will of God is designed to turn us from depending on our own human strategies, our own self-dependent strategies, to living by faith in Him. Suffering will force our faith to the surface. Suffering puts our faith to work. Suffering purifies our life of dependence upon ourselves. If nothing else, suffering helps us to see our weaknesses. And it helps us to see our insufficiency of our own strength, our own strategies, and helps us to respond to God's greatness. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Under the mighty hand of God. I like that phrase. I see a lot of scholars, Bible scholars out in the audience today. If you want to do a Bible study, a word study, phrase study, the mighty hand of God or the hand of God, I do recommend that. There are hundreds of phrases, especially in the Old Testament, about the hand of God or the mighty hand of God. I do recommend that. The mighty hand of God shows that we are the creation and the servants of the sovereign Creator who created everything with His mighty hand. So regardless of how independent we may feel and how much power we gain in this world, we know that we do not control our own destiny. He rules over the universe, which includes our personal little world. God's hand in Scripture symbolizes, from the Old Testament passages that I saw, I want to give you four things. I didn't have you write these down, but if you'd like to write these down, I do recommend it. God's mighty hand in Scripture symbolizes His correction, His protection, He guides, and provides. Correct, protect, guide, provide. Correct, protect, guide, provide. I was thinking that last night. I don't know why. I guess to entertain myself. What does God's mighty hand do? What does His mighty hand do? It corrects, protects, guides, provides. Corrects like a good parent. Did you ever correct your children, the good parents here? Did you ever go, hey? My mom used to snap, hey, when I was doing something, cut that out. You ever tell your kids, cut that out, stop that, cut that out. That's a Southern phrase, cut it out. God's mighty hand protects things in our life coming at us, coming at your children. Do you ever have to push something away or grab your kids from, do you ever have to do that? God's mighty hand corrects, He protects, He guides. Did you ever take your child's hand and guide them where they needed to go. His mighty hand provides. Did you ever give your children what they needed? Not everything they wanted. That's when you have to, hey! But provide. That's what God's mighty hand does for us. Corrects, protects, guides, provides. And I like that, and I hope to remember that. His mighty hand is able to lead our lives and to meet our needs. So the command is to submit, to allow God to be God, to do what He deems necessary regardless of how things may appear to us or how difficult the suffering may be. All things are not good, I'm not saying that, but because God's hand is mighty, He is able to work things together for good. Because God's hand is mighty, He is able to correct when we need correcting. He is able to protect when we need protection. He is able to guide when we need guiding. He is able to provide when we need providing. And this will lift you up in due time. He will lift you up in due time. That's the purpose Peter has in mind here of us humbling ourselves under mighty, God's mighty hand, is that we may be lifted up in due time. Lifted us up from the various places of suffering and persecution. God uses the suffering, He uses the persecution to form us into the image of His Son, but ultimately in the end, in the final goal is to lift us up from the suffering, from the persecution to His glory, to us see His glory the way He glorified His sons. His Son. Many times that lifting up may occur in this life, and He does lift us up from day to day, from circumstance to circumstance. Sometimes that lifting up does not come until the life to come. But no matter how long God delays, we are never to attempt to take matters into our own hands and to seek to lift ourselves up. We are to allow God's humbling process to have its transforming effect in making us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That lifting up process, that lifting up timetable is a humbling process. But for the Christian, the way up is always the way down, humbling ourselves. Dying to self is the way we find life. So humble yourselves under God's mighty hand and allow Him to lift you up in due time. Allow Him to correct, to protect, to guide, provide. You say, how can I do that? How can I manage to do that when everything around me seems like it is going wrong? What do I do? You know, I humble myself, God. I humble myself, God. What do we do? Well, number two, the procedure. How do you do this? How do you humble yourself under God's mighty hand? The procedure. Cast all your care, cast all your anxiety on Him. The casting tells us how we are to be humbled. I guess we could translate it, be humbled by casting all your care on Him. How can you humble yourself? By casting all your care on Him. The Greek verb for casting. I talked to several people this week, said, Pastor, you haven't given us a Greek word in a while, and we're highly upset about it. I said, all right, I'll fit one in this week. So here's the Greek word for casting. It's a good one. Apirito. 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 Casting, apirito. That word is used most often for placing or casting your burdens or your supplies onto a beast of burden. Casting your garments or casting your supplies, apirito, on a beast of burden. You're carrying a heavy burden. You got your supplies on your back. You have your beast of burden with you. You take them off your back, that word would be used, and you place that on the animal that is stronger than you that can carry them. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. Who daily bears our burden. We're carrying heavy things in our life. They're weighing us down. These cares, these burdens. But God says that's foolish because I'm right here with you and I'm waiting for you to cast them off yourself and apirito, cast them on to me and allow me to carry them. It doesn't mean do away with them. It just means give them to someone who is stronger than you to carry. Now you can walk through life and you're still carrying the things that are important, but you're not carrying them anymore and they're not weighing you down. God is carrying them. We are to move from the sphere of trusting in our own strength to resting in God's strength. Yesterday we were at a Goodwill. And Lorene saw a end table that she wanted to take to her store. Lorene has a store where she has furniture and knickknacks and vases and all this kind of stuff. I highly recommend it if you would like to go there. Free advertising, there you go. She saw this end table that she wanted to buy and take and put in her store, I believe. And Monica volunteered me to take it up to the front until we were through shopping. And then she would pay for it and we would go. I said, no problem. I picked up this end table. It was a little heavy, not too bad. And I walked it up to the front. And I saw the young girl. She was a teenager working behind the counter. And I said, where can I put this to her through shopping? She said, place it over here so it's out of the way. And as soon as I said that, my back said, hey! And I had a twinge run through my back. And I went, oh, I can't move. And I set it down right there, and that teenage girl looked at me, teenage young lady. She's like, what is wrong with you? So she came over, this little teenage girl, she picked it up. And I went, well, ain't that something? But I couldn't move. I had to go sit down. This twinge in my back. It's that way with us through life. We're carrying things that we shouldn't be carrying. And God's stronger than a teenage girl. He can carry things that we should not be carrying because we've weighed ourselves down. Something went wrong, and we're not supposed to carry them. Anxiety, that word can be translated care, can be translated anxiety, can be translated worry. The Greek word there is merimna. It can be used both in a good sense of godly concerns, godly cares, and be used in a bad sense of worry and anxiety. You've been given good things in your life, and I've been given good things in my life that we are supposed to care for. Our life, our family, our jobs, our children, our ministry, those are good things. But when they start to weigh us down and hurt our backs and we feel burdened by them, we're not supposed to carry that way. It's a good thing, but during those times, we have to say, God, this is yours. I'm not going to let it burden me down and weigh me down. You're right here with me. I'm going to apirito. I'm going to cast this on you, even the good things. Cast all your cares, even when they're good things. You cast them on God. It also can be translated in a bad way, worries and anxiety, the things in the world which distract us from God's values, the love of money, the pride of life, these things that weigh us down, the things that are opposed to God. We're not supposed to carry those. They may attack us and we may be tempted by them, but we're not supposed to carry that around. We even cast those things onto God, and He carries those and says, you know, this we're going to get rid of. This we're going to leave off to the side, but I don't have to carry that and let it weigh me down. I can even cast those things onto God. So whether it's worldly concerns or godly concerns, we cast all these things on God. Some of them he carries with us, beside us, along the way, leads us. Some of them he says, we're going to leave this on the side of the road. We're not going to carry it anymore. But we put all of our worries, all of our cares, all of our anxiety, the whole on him. Not just a few parts, not just individual parts, the whole of our life. We say, God, I'm going to cast all of my life upon you. We come to the place where we realize that our Savior's complete sufficiency is greater than our insufficiency. We realize that we can't handle any part of our life apart from the Lord. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we make Jesus the priority. So the command, what we are supposed to do is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. How we're supposed to do this, the procedure, is by casting your cares on him. But why would you want to do this? If you're not a Christian here today, you say, why would I want to do that? I can carry myself. Why would I want to do this? Well, what is the motivation for doing this? What is the secret for doing this? Number three, the motivation. The motivation. For he cares for you. Why do you want to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Why do you want to cast all your cares upon him? For he cares for you. God always, constantly, consistently cares about us. That word care can be translated concern. That word care can be translated interested. God is concerned over you. God is interested in you. If nobody else is interested in you, God is interested in you. And his unchanging faithfulness, his unchanging love, his unchanging care is always there. Life changes. Persecution comes. Suffering comes. Life seems terribly fickle. But God's care is always steadfast and unfailing. He cares for his children. The whole of our care. So, Todd, why worry when he's concerned about you? And Todd, why worried when he is interested in you? He's more interested in my welfare than I am. He's more interested in your welfare than you are. And he is infinitely more capable of caring for us than we are for caring for ourselves. It just may be when I'm going through some deep waters that God is seeking to reveal cares, areas where I have trusted in my own self, my own resources. It may be that I'm trying to find my primary satisfaction in something other than God. But real satisfaction, apart from the Lord as the source of that satisfaction, is a mirage at best. And most likely it is a vapor that it is experienced one moment and is gone the next. So God's counsel concerning your cares, God's advice concerning your cares is this. He cares. What does God think about your cares? God cares about your cares. I like that too. God cares about your cares. The things that you care about, God cares about. And he wants you to cast them on him. He wants you to humble yourselves under his mighty hand for correction, protection, guide, and provide. Cast the whole of your care upon him. Not just some areas, but the whole areas. I want you to think for just one moment of the person in your life, from any period in your life, that you trusted more than anyone, that was always there for you, that always had the right, seemed like they always had the right advice, they were always, you were first in their life, they were always concerned about you, you knew you could completely trust them, that parent, that mother, father, husband, wife, child, whatever it may be, friend. And I like for us to put their name, just an experiment, just for a second. We'll take it right back out. In verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves. I'm going to pick my mother. She always was there for me. Humble yourselves, therefore, under my mother's mighty hand, that she may lift me up in due time. Cast all my anxiety on my mother, because she cares for me. Now, she did her best. And oh, it's a great feeling to have someone in our life that is like that, that we can trust that way. But she was human. And that person that you would have put in the verse were human. They couldn't always correct because they weren't all-knowing, and I was a little bit sneaky sometimes. You probably wasn't, but I was. They couldn't always protect because they didn't have enough strength at times, and they weren't around at times, even though they wanted to be. They couldn't guide every time because sometimes, as great as they were, they did not know the answer. And they could not provide everything because the resources were limited. As much as they had, there were still some things they could not provide. But God can. God is the name that we have to put back in that verse. Jesus can. So humble yourself under His mighty hand, and He will lift you up in due time. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And when we're that humble person, casting all of our cares on Him, trusting Him to care for us, that is how we will live a Christian life in a modern society. I encourage us to live for Jesus this week. Number one, who in your family or who of your friends is the biggest worrier? If you can't find someone, can't think of anyone, it might be you. How can you help that person? And if you can't help them, you've tried, and it just hasn't gotten you anywhere. What can you learn from that person? How not to be that way? Number two, what causes you to worry? What causes you to carry all your burdens and throw your back out? What are those things? I want you to sit down and have a talk with Jesus this week and begin to cast those things upon Him. Can you see, number three, can you see Peter's connection between humility and releasing our anxiety? Humility and releasing our anxiety. God's been trying to teach me that this week. There's something about humility that releases anxiety. Pride hangs on to anxiety and increases it. I'm reading a biography right now about David Letterman. I used to watch David Letterman all the time when I was in high school. And a biography came out and I wanted to read it. And as rich as he is, as successful as he is, when he was young, he was very arrogant, he said, and he was always worried. Always worried. Every night he would come home, he would yell at his girlfriend, fight with his girlfriend, who was the head writer on the show, thinking the show was about to be canceled after every episode. He said this. Why? Well, he said because he was proud and arrogant. And this is what he said, that pride and arrogance led him to always be worried. And I thought that was good, because my pride and my arrogance brings in anxiety. When I'm casting all the cares on myself instead of ripito, casting my cares upon Him, my anxieties will grow. And number four, what person in your life have you trusted to care for you? Do you believe God cares for you more than that person? Have you put that person in verses 6 and 7? And it might be yourself. Cast all of my cares upon myself, for I care for me. Do you believe you have the power to correct to protect, to guide, and provide your life or that person in your life, family, friends, whatever it is. Have you put that person in the verse? If you have, we need to repent and start casting. Say, God, I put you back in the verse because I believe you're stronger than anyone that I could cast my cares on. Lord, help us to live this. May it become a part of us in Jesus' name. Let's pray over this, that God would apply it to our lives. Lord, you oppose the proud, but give favor to the humble. So we humble ourselves right now. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Lord, we give you, we say we follow your correction. Things in our life that need to be corrected, please correct. We listen right now in Jesus' name. Is there something in your life that needs to be corrected? Lord, we trust you for our protection, O God. We've been trying to fight off the enemies and fight off the things that are coming against us, but right now we stop that. We eripito, we cast that upon you. God, we ask for your protection. God, we've been trying to guide our own life. And we believe you've given us insight and wisdom and a brain and all that. Yes, Father. But Lord, when we know that you're saying don't go that way, Lord, we humble ourselves and we stop. And when we hear you say you need to go this way, Lord, we listen. And God, we trust you to provide. Working 50, 60, 70 hours a week just to climb the ladder, climb the ladder, climb the ladder. And it's never enough and we feel like we're about to be canceled. God, we trust you to provide. So we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We cast all of our cares upon you. We just begin to do that right now. Lord, I cast this care upon you. What are you anxious about? The good things in your life that you've been anxious about, you've been trying to, it's weighing you down. You got that back pain. Would you cast, Lord, we cast our family on you right now. Our jobs, our ministry. Living Hope Assembly of God, collectively as a church, we cast the vision, the direction of this church on you right now. Why do we do this? Because you care for us. So we just begin to thank you right now that you care for us. We thank you that God cares about our cares. Jesus cares about our cares. We thank you. Would you just thank him that he cares for you? Father, we thank you today. Thank you that you care about my family more than I do. Thank you that you care about my ministry more than I do. Thank you care about my life more than I do. Thank you that you care about my job more than I do. I leave you in the verse. I take myself out. I take that person I trust in out. And I put you in the verse. May it be so. God's mighty hand. He'll correct. He'll protect. He'll guide and provide for those who ask, for those who believe, for those who don't fight against him. Let it be so. Let it be so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing unto the Lord who cares for us today. Thank you. I want to stay with this this week, Wednesday night. If you plan on being here, would you go ahead and think of some time where God corrected you, where He protected you, where He guided you, where He provided for you? You can think of one of those four categories, or think of one for all four of those categories. And Wednesday night we'll have just a little testimony time before our service, so this can stay with us a little bit longer. I want it to stay with me. So would you be thinking of that? And if you're not a regular on Wednesday night, I do invite you out to be a part of this and be encouraged by other people's stories. We didn't go into the last, I think it's verse 10. Peter says one of our examples are the people that are suffering throughout the world. He talks about that. So for us, our examples will be the people here that have, will tell us about how God corrected, provided, guided, and provided for us. So would you do that this Wednesday night? And we'll discuss a little bit before our service. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You for this day. We honor You. We glorify You. And Lord, just bless Your people. Lord, just make Your face shine upon Your people. Lord, be gracious to Your people. Lord, give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.